Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we've got an amazing show lined up for you. We're speaking to people who are making a difference throughout Indian country. And the venue where we're recording is actually a little bit quieter than sometimes when we attend professional meetings and conferences. We are actually in a hotel room at a conference venue. We're at the National Tribal Health Conference, sponsored by the National Indian Health Board. We're in Phoenix, Arizona. And it is 2025. September is the month. We are here now talking with some really exciting folks. The first one sitting in front of me is Cami Shaw. Cami, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. DeRose.
Cami, I got really excited when I saw your booth. And now this may sound strange to some of the folks listening, but as a physician, I've had a lot of folks who've dealt with some major surgeries. People in Indian country and outside of Indian country, they know of folks who've had to deal with some of these major colon surgeries, for example. Maybe they had a colon cancer. Maybe they had a bad infection like a diverticulitis, and they had to have the bowel actually emptied to outside the body through the abdomen instead of going through the rectum. They call that an ostomy, don't they?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about why you have an interest in people who've had these surgeries.
Well, being of Native ancestry, I am a healer, as probably with many Native Americans. And this opportunity found its way to me. It wasn't something I sought out. So I'm taking it and I'm running with it. I want to help people feel better.
I love your vision. My wife and I, Sonia is actually going around booking folks here at this venue. We were together looking at some of the exhibits here at the National Tribal Health Conference. And we saw the Perfect Choice exhibit there in the exhibit hall. Tell us a little bit about Perfect Choice and what that has to do with you.
Perfect Choice Medical Technologies. I acquired that last year, and I manufacture ostomy products, including the pouches and many accessories that people don't know about that can ease their life and put them back into a normal life.
And we might be speaking to someone right now who's just been told they have maybe rectal cancer or some other kind of condition, and they're talking about an ostomy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're temporary. Sometimes they can be reversed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But other times people are going to have that bag that's attached to their skin.
The abdomen, yeah.
And a lot of folks say, I don't want to do that. You know, if that's going to come to that, I'd rather just die or I'll explore some other healing routes. Talk with us, Cami, a little bit about why someone, from your perspective, may want to rethink that decision. Why, with the kind of products that are out there today, this is kind of a game changer for people.
It is a game changer. I've heard of different patients who have been fighting for years to not have the surgery, and they were forced to have the surgery, and they were like, why did I not do this years ago? And with all of the accessories now, worries about leakage and being embarrassed in public. With our rings and the crescent strips, it offers security so that people can gain their lives back. Mm. And we're bringing humanity back to these people.
I love what you're doing. I love your passion. Now, you have deep roots in Indian country.
Yes.
And is it Florida where you actually grew up?
I grew up in Florida. I am a native Floridian, still living in Florida. My tribe is Lower Muscogee Creek in Southwest Georgia.
So you have this vision. You've got a native kind of holistic health perspective. I love that.
Yes, I do.
It shows. I mean, just a little time we've had a chance to meet here. And I find it interesting because this is not like something you, as a child, said, one day I'm going to own an ostomy company. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, I never in my life thought of this.
So tell me the backstory. I mean, you said you acquired this company a year ago.
Yes.
Tell me this.
Do you know how sometimes God, the universe, life just hands you a gift? Well, that's what happened to me.
You got my interest. I mean, a lot of my listeners, myself included, we believe there's a creator. He's orchestrating things. So you've seen this in your own life.
Many times.
But a year ago. So how does this come together?
My business partner has been very successful over his past 40 years in business, an entrepreneur, many different businesses he's had. He's had various partners, and he always wanted to have a Native American business partner. And he knows all the ins and outs with getting government contracts and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he found out about me through friends, and we met, and we were off and running with this new adventure.
So let me just ask this question. Cammie, did you really know much about ostomy products before?
I still don't know a lot about this, Dr. DeRose.
Okay. So you have this vision to give back to your people, to make a difference.
Yes, yes.
You hear about this opportunity. You say, this isn't just me orchestrating it.
Oh.
You know, you see a divine hand.
Yeah, it was divine intervention, no doubt.
And so you go through the door.
I ran through the door, yeah.
Now, I just want to stop here because I know we want to hear more of the story. We want to hear more about what you do and how people can benefit from it. But let's just step back and talk to someone right now. I just met someone at this conference. It's a true story.
Okay.
This is a Native woman working in tribal health somewhere. And she just mentioned kind of the struggle that she's in, looking for direction as far as her program and her project. What do you tell someone if they're trying to seek guidance for their life? Do you have any words of wisdom just to kind of speak to our audience if they're not tracking along that way? How do you feel like you tapped into knowing that this is the creator opening doors for you?
For me, that started out in childhood when I could see giant heads in the rooms with me.
Okay.
Yeah. So my ancestors and the angels have always been with me.
So what I love about the diversity that I see in Indian country is some folks have these spiritual experiences that are where they feel it's their ancestors or angels. Other people that I know, they say, hey, I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible says, you know, our ancestors are sleeping in the grave. They don't communicate with us, but we do believe there's good spiritual powers out there. So people have all kinds of different perspectives, right? But what I appreciate is folks saying, I want to be sensitive to the creator leading me. And regardless of where people are coming from, my understanding is there's a God who doesn't say, once you understand all the truths about me and the universe, then I'll talk with you. He reaches us right where we're at.
Absolutely.
And so we're both on that journey together.
Yeah.
We might be coming from a little bit different perspectives, but you've seen God working in your life. He's connected you to perfect choice. Did perfect choice medical technologies exist before you came on board?
I think it started in 2014.
Okay.
So it's been in existence for a while.
And they were making ostomy products and developing
the
product line.
Yep.
And so you come on board, and now you've got the title of CEO.
Yes.
And I love your card, American Indian, Native American, woman-owned. You've got the perfect choice, medical technologies. Someone is saying, okay, I work for a tribal health department. So I'm looking at your business card.
In my Water Clan colors.
Oh, yes.
Blues and greens.
Thank you. Thank you. So this is your clan of the Lower Muscogee Creek tribe.
Yes, I am Water Clan in that tribe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so thanks for making sure I understand the significance of the color of the card. My listeners can't fully appreciate
that. No, they don't.
But it's an attractive card.
Thank you.
Cammie Shaw, CEO, Native American, woman-owned, Perfect Choice Medical Technologies. For someone who's listening, maybe a tribal health director, tribal health person, maybe they're working on the clinical end, and they say, you know what, I'd love to know about more ostomy supplies. In fact, one of the things I hear a lot is people get frustrated because they're going through some durable medical equipment provider, and the price of the items may not be that expensive, but they're getting marked up considerably.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, am I understanding correctly, if a tribe or a clinic or something reaches out to you, they can get pricing directly from your organization?
Yes.
And so who contacts you? Who reaches out to Perfect Choice? Is it an end user? Is it someone right now who says,
no, okay, I cannot sell directly to the end user.
Okay. So for people that are in a clinic or tribal health department.
Yep. Tribal health department can contact me directly.
So how do they do that?
They can call 1-800-665-3412. They can contact me through my email, cammieshaw@perfectchoicemed.com.
Okay, let me make sure I'm getting this down. So Cammie, there's a lot of ways to spell Cammie.
There are. It is CammieShaw.
So the Shaw is easy. CammieShaw at Perfect Choice Med.
Med, M-E-D, short for medical.
.com. And if we want to pick up the phone and make a call, give me that number again, please.
800-665-3412.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we got that out of there before we talk a little bit more about ostomies. I think this is something that I really feel we need to spend a little bit of time with.
It's unfortunately a growing industry.
It really is. I mean, if people know much about cancer statistics, historically, lung cancer was the leading killer. You know, if you look at both genders, depends on the segment of the population you're looking at now. In Indian country, you know, a lot of effort to, you may have heard the theme, keeping tobacco sacred, you know, getting away from commercial addictive tobacco usage.
Right.
And some people with nicotine addiction histories walking away from tobacco entirely, even though it may be part of their indigenous culture. So we're seeing segments of the population that are not really getting exposed to much tobacco smoke. But now we're seeing lots of prostate cancer in men, breast cancer in women. But one cancer that has no gender bias is colon cancer.
That's correct.
And would you say, I mean, as far as your interactions, if you're dealing with someone with a need for ostomy products, I know you're not dealing with the end user yourself, but are you finding a lot of times it's a colon cancer history, or do you hear many of the stories of people that are using the products?
I don't hear a lot of stories. I do have patients who reach out to me for samples of my product, and I have that direct contact with them and sending them the samples. One woman recently contacted me. She had some kind of issue she was dealing with. She passed out. She woke up after surgery, and she had an ostomy.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the poor thing, and she had all the leakage and the skin condition, and it was very painful for her. So I sent her barrier strips and some rings so that it would make it more comfortable for her and the leaks would stop.
Now, did you hear back from her?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
So do you do that if someone's listening right now and they're frustrated, or is this kind of a special exception?
No, they can contact me at any time and I'll try and help them.
Okay.
I can send them samples at no charge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is exciting. And I'm glad you mentioned the story, because, you know, a lot of times people think, you know, cancer is one way to go down that route.
Not necessarily.
You're exactly right. Another condition, you know, the diverticulitis that I mentioned, so it can be an infection.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a need to address things that way. But the other thing that your scenario brings up that I think is so important is the bowel is dependent on blood supply.
Yeah.
And sometimes we hear of people having a stroke, blood clot going to the brain. But if a blood clot goes to the bowel, they can have what we call ischemia or mesenteric ischemia, where the bowel doesn't get the blood supply it needs, and that bowel can die.
Yeah.
And so there's a number of routes that people could end up with one of these ostomies. And to me, the message I love is whether you wake up, and I mean, and that's...
She was horrified that she was having to deal with this.
Yeah.
Something she never thought she would have to deal with.
And no warning.
No warning.
Whether you end up with a scenario like that, or whether the doctor's talking with you and saying, hey, this cancer's way down low near the rectum. In order for us to remove it, we're going to have to put an ostomy. And you're saying, no way. And the reason people say no way is because of auntie or uncle who had that ostomy that leaked,
years
right?
Years ago, right. Yeah. They didn't have the accessories that we do now.
I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you. And the hospitals don't necessarily send patients out with the knowledge of all the accessories that can help remove the fear of the leakage and the skin conditions. They don't teach them that. So that's why we're here.
I want to make sure that folks can get a hold of you, because there's some folks saying, hey, I know someone who could benefit from
Absolutely.
Some other products. Give us that contact information again, Cammie.
My 800 number is 800-665-3412, and they can email me at cammieshaw@perfectchoicemed.com.
Cammie, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Cammie's got to step away, but I'm going to stay by. We've got another guest who's coming on board to join us in the next segment. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're at the National Tribal Health Conference in Phoenix. More coming up right after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at AIANL.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, AIANL.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We are here at the National Tribal Health Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. We are talking with some exciting people making a difference throughout Indian country, some with long established work in Indian country, others, like you just heard from Cami, really just connecting with First Nation peoples. That's a similar story with Dr. Connie Tucker. Connie, we're so glad that you're here and sitting behind the mic.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Connie, you've been doing some exciting work in the mental health field. You are a DO. Tell us, first of all, a little bit about the difference between MDs and DOs, because we always get, you know, that question that people are asking. Help us with that.
Yes, that's a beautiful question. So really, the difference is the thought process about healing. In the osteopathic profession, it's really about whole person care. The mind-body-spirit connection is integral in healing and thinking about that as a healer or as a physician. The allopathic group, which is MD, is more traditionally trained in diagnosis. That's the real difference, and that's why I chose the osteopathic profession, because that speaks to me. I really believe a person, their journey, their health really is all of them. In their mind-body-spirit, those things are important, and what drew me to that profession.
Tremendous. And of course, that resonates throughout Indian country. And just for the record, for folks like me who's an MD, I resonate with that vision as well. And I think at the end of the day, you talk with folks and they say, I didn't know that person was a DO. I didn't know they were an MD. Really, all practical purposes, you have the same scope of practice, doing the same type of things, and orientation may be historically a little bit different. But when it comes to individual practitioners like you and me, we seem to be very similar, even though we've just met today, right?
Exactly. I agree. The people who choose the physician profession, we're all the same. We're in it for the same reason. We want to help. We want to heal. We want to be a part of that community. We're trained the same way, the same medical books, right? The same exams we all have to take, our licensing, it's all the same. And
we need to all be inclusive and be supportive of each other. And I agree with that as well.
So I love to put that out there because some folks, I mean, I know some parts of the country, the DOs, I mean, they're the people that folks want to see other people. I don't want to see MDs. At the end of the day, I mean, I was privileged to train in a residency. I'm internal medicine is my first specialty. So that's where I got my first boards. And then I did preventive medicine later. But in my preventive medicine residency, we had a number of DOs as well as MDs and, you know, everyone doing the same thing, same scope of practice, same training. So basically, I've got this solid physician in front of me. Your training is also primary care. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I'm board certified family medicine physician, and I've been practicing about 25 years now. And again, I was drawn to family medicine because I wanted to have the whole family experience and be able to see the dynamic and healing in that way. My journey really through medical school and residency, I was drawn to help the underserved people. And in that, when I finished residency, I joined the National Service Corps. I served as a staff physician in that model for 11 years.
And wow.
That was in Phoenix mostly. And during that time, I really found a love and passion for integrated care. And I speak Spanish fluently. So it was really nice to have that part of my practice. And then substance use disorder has always been part of my journey as a physician. And when you needed your X waiver to prescribe medicine to help people, I had that. And so part of my practice was helping people see that without stigma and just really part of a medical diagnosis and part of my community and the peoples that I served. And then in that, I became chief medical officer and other things. And during that time, I have worked my whole career in federally qualified health centers. And that's a little bit about me.
So federally qualified health centers, a lot of folks know what those are. Other people are saying, what is this lady talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Federally qualified health centers are in communities throughout the United States. They're represented in all of the United States and the territories. And really, the mission was born in the civil rights movement in the 60s and 70s. And the idea was to have health centers in the communities that needed them to provide full integrated care. It's funded through the federal government, and then all payers are represented at the community health centers. There's about 1,500 federally qualified health centers or community health centers. They're used interchangeably throughout the United States, and currently about 1 in 8 American people choose a health center for their primary care home.
So when we talk about these federally qualified health centers, they're typically more rural or more underserved areas, correct?
Exactly. So the majority are in underserved areas. And so some of them are designated as rural, meaning they're not close to a hospital. They might be 200-300 miles away from a hospital. They're spread throughout the United States by geography. So they're always assigned a zip code, a north border, a south border, an east border, a west border. And that's how they identify the community in totality. But they're open to see everybody.
So both my wife and I, who's a physician as well, have had the privilege of working in such centers. We continue to actually, both of us, maintain limited practices in such settings. So we're familiar with that lay of the land. And like you mentioned, it seems a lot of times when people don't have resources, many times it seems like they deal with a disproportionate burden of suffering from mental health disorders. Sometimes that's part of how they ended up in the circumstances they're in. And it seems like over the course of your practice, you have focused more on mental health and substance use disorders, or is that not correct?
No, I think I was and have still been like a traditional family medicine physician, but I agree when you're working in communities that serve more underserved people or people that don't have as many resources, there is a large proportion of their health is mental health, especially in primary care. As an internal medicine physician, I'm sure you saw the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like really they're coming in and saying, I have a headache or I'm not feeling well. And a lot of times when you ask those open-ended questions, it's more in line with their mind and their mental health than, you know, another diagnosis. And so I think because the systems I've always worked in had behavioral health clinicians, it was a great way to ask those open-ended questions and then have the clinicians to also help if they needed traditional therapy or subspecialty psychiatry. So to answer your question, I would say traditionally I'm family medicine physician, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I think I skew more towards asking about mental health things than maybe another person in my situation would as a family medicine physician.
Fair enough. Right now, you represent an organization called Ascend Healthcare. Tell us a little bit about that organization.
Sure. So I have been involved with Ascend Healthcare about 5 years now, and I was the chief medical officer for the first federally qualified health center, CHC, that they worked with. And really, I was looking for a few things. So as the chief medical officer, all of the primary care people reported to me. I also was the interim director of behavioral health for a while because it was difficult to recruit that position. Mm-hmm. And in that, I really noticed the journey for the patients. We just needed more. We needed more therapists, which we couldn't find. We needed subspecialty psychiatry, co-occurring substance use disorder, and people that saw it the way I did, that there really should be no stigma and there should be no wrong door. Mm. If you come and you need that help, you should be able to have that help. And so that's how I found Ascend Healthcare. The CEO, founder, and owner has been in psychiatry. He's a psychiatric PA, was helping in sort of the urgent care inpatient realm for about 25 years. And he really noticed, like, wow, these people who are in crisis probably could have been avoided if they had an outpatient clinic to go to or a place that they could ask for help before they got to crisis. And really, that's his vision and mission of this company, is to provide that care for people in a warm, encompassing way. And that drew me to him. And I chose him to help me at my health center. Mm-hmm. And in that journey, I really saw the need take off, really. And so we laughingly say he was going to start with my health center the day the stay-at-home order happened for COVID in Arizona. And so in some ways, those things taught us a lot, right? Mm-hmm. We hopefully never have to see that again, but we weren't sure how people would think about a telehealth appointment for mental health. And so really, we had the opportunity to try that at my health center. We turned the whole organization to a telehealth platform in about 7 days. And really, there was a lot of great patient response to it. And as we built the team together, I just feel so passionate about that should be part of primary care and a service for everybody. I joined the team officially about 2.5 years ago. And so really, my dual function here is to speak the story and meet people like you at conferences, other venues. And then when we have a collaboration, I lead the project because I see it as a physician working on the floor, as an administrative person, and as a interim director of behavioral health. And so those are my two functions here at Ascend.
So we're going to talk more about Ascend, but especially for those of you joining us as listeners, we want to talk about the power of mental health interventions. We're going to talk about how things that are delivered, even from a distance, can have a profound effect. I know you've got a lot of great stories. That's what I've heard. Is this true?
That is true. I have a lot of great stories.
So these are practical stories. For those of you, you may know someone who's dealing with mental health challenges. You may be in a situation where you're saying, hey, we have a great tribal health department, but I'm in a big reservation. I'm far from the services. It's hard for me to access them. Are there other options? We're going to talk through some of those things. You may be a tribal health leader and you're saying, you know, how can we expand our capacity? We want to talk with you a little bit about Ascend Healthcare and what Dr. Connie Tucker and her team are offering. I'm Dr. DeRose. Dr. Tucker is staying by. Am I correct?
Yes.
We do have to step away just briefly. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more in our second half of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Stay tuned for more.
American Indian and Alaska Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to our second half of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're in the beautiful venue of Phoenix, Arizona. We're on the outskirts of town. Some people would say, hey, you're not in Phoenix. You're closer to Chandler. My geography isn't all that great here, but I know the Gila River folks here have been very gracious. We're in Pima country here. Some of you know way back to the history of the Hohokam people before European colonists or other terminology you may want to use about those who came to this country arrived. But some deep roots here. The peoples have been very gracious, First Nation peoples who've been hosting this conference in conjunction with the National Indian Health Board. Across from me, again, is Dr. Connie Tucker. Connie, you have this wealth of experience dealing with an innovative area, and that is delivering mental health services through telemedicine. A lot of folks think, well, I don't think that's going to work. I want to see someone face to face. Can you tell us, I mean, maybe some success stories of people who've dealt with this kind of an approach?
Yes, for sure. I think when people say that, first and foremost, we're not thinking about all of the other options telehealth provide people, right? And so sometimes people aren't feeling comfortable going to a traditional building that identifies as a mental health facility or an integrated system. So a telehealth appointment allows them to have that and the comfortability of where they are at home. It also really breaks down the barriers for transportation. Some people can't get to a place, especially very rural, remote communities where maybe it's a 4-hour drive to see subspecialty. And so I start with that as a comment, but maybe I can tell you a story of a patient that really beautifully demonstrates the work we're all doing together, healing people.
We'd love to hear that. Share with us.
Okay, great. Addict. Crazy. Frustrating. Those would be the words Karen's family had been using for her for more than 15 years.
Whoa.
If you ask Karen how she would describe herself, she would say mother, friend, caregiver. Karen is 35 years old, and she has been trying to find an answer for why she isn't feeling well for more than a decade. About 15 years ago, she went to her parents and said she was having visual and auditory hallucinations. So much like any of us would do as a parent, they took her to the emergency room to find answers. At that emergency visit, she had labs, she had urine tests, she had x-rays, and that was the one and only time she tested positive for methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. But the stigma of that followed her for years to come. As she aged, she just became more and more frustrated. She wasn't able to articulate her needs, take care of herself. She slept more than 15 hours a day, and she was unable to care for her children. Finally, her parents took her to a health center that had a full integrated team and asked for help. the primary care physician, much like me, went through all the check boxes, the diagnoses, mm-hmm. and he too couldn't figure it out for her. They had a full integrated team with Ascend, and he reached out to one of the psychiatric providers and asked for some help. Of course, she said yes. She saw her that day on a telehealth visit because, again, it was not easy for her mom and dad to get her out of the house.
So let me see if I'm understanding this. She walks into a physical clinic initially and saw this primary caregiver. Is that how that worked?
She had a telehealth visit with the primary care doctor as well.
So mm-hmm. so he has this telehealth. She's at home for the telehealth visit?
She is at home, and the provider was at the health center.
Okay. And then this provider, who's primary care, like you or me, family practice, mm-hmm. internal medicine, actually says, hey, this is kind of out of my scope of practice. I want to have you see a specialist. And this specialist, within 24 hours, is on the phone, another telemedicine appointment?
Yes. So actually had an appointment that day.
Okay.
Yeah. So connected about 2 hours later.
Wow.
Because the patient and the family were ready for that, and mm-hmm. they didn't want to miss that opportunity. So the psychiatric subspecialty provider connected by video about 2 hours later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're talking about this because I know some places, a lot of places today, have plenty of bandwidth. You can have those video interactions, and that's our preference when we're doing telemedicine. But I know at least in the rural area that mm-hmm. I serve, sometimes my patients, they either don't have the technology, they don't mm-hmm. have the bandwidth. Is that work too? Can you do phone-based as well as video-based?
Yes, we do phone-based as well because sometimes, as you said, the technology is not reachable to remote areas. They don't have internet technology, mm-hmm. and so we are also providing phone visits. So I can tell you we have about 150 clinicians currently at wow. Ascend Healthcare. We provided 220,000 encounters last year.
Wow, that's a lot of visits.
It's a lot of visits. And so I would say the majority were by video, but there was phone opportunity too, especially sometimes for elderly people. They mm-hmm. don't really mm-hmm. want to connect by video. And so we will provide phone.
Okay, but we're back to Karen, who's 35, and she's on a video interface, okay? Yeah. So what happens?
Right, so she's on a video interface, and you know her mom and dad were telling the story, and she just became more and more frustrated. Mm. A lot of the history at this point was provided by mom and dad, and the psychiatric provider said to the family, I believe that Karen has been misdiagnosed for more than a decade. I believe her diagnosis is disorganized schizophrenia. So for those of you who don't know what that is, it really shows up late teens, early 20s, which is what happened with Karen. And looks like auditory and visual hallucinations, sometimes disorganized speech. They feel like they're getting out what they'd like to say, but it's not understandable to other people, and lots of depression and things. When they made the diagnosis, she also asked about medication. Mm-hmm. So currently, at that time, Karen wasn't taking any medication, but mom and dad and caregivers were worried about the affordability of that. And so they worked as a care team to find something that was covered by insurance and affordable. Flash forward about 2 weeks later, Karen showed up again on a telehealth visit on video, but by herself. And her first statement to the psychiatric provider was, "Hi, Heather. It's so nice to see you. I'm feeling much better." When we think about those things, what an impactful way for her. And Heather asked her, "Well, in what ways are you feeling better, Karen?" And she said, "I can now tell you what's in my brain is not stuck in my brain. And for the first time in a very long time, I hugged my children and I told them that I loved them."
Wow.
So I think at the end of this, what really was impactful for us, now flash forward 6 months later, she's caring for her children. She's sleeping only 8 hours a night. She started working, which she hadn't been for more than 20 years, and is doing quite well on her medication. And I think this story really strikes my heart as a family care, family physician, but also we can't give her those 15 years back. That's not anything we can give her, but we showed her what true integrated compassionate care looked like at the time that she needed it. And that care that she needed was more impactful by video because she couldn't get herself there. And the healing happened and she's doing a lot better and she's quite a success story.
No, love the story. And what's exciting to me is basically you have this capacity at Ascend Healthcare to basically share with communities throughout the country. Mm-hmm. I know we're here at a Native venue. We've got tribes from all over the country represented, Native Alaskans, Native Hawaiians. We have folks sharing, you know, indigenous health practices, and then people who are allies, people who are partnering. You folks, if I'm understanding correctly, have not done a lot with Indian country per se. Not that Native Americans haven't utilized your services, but at this point, am I correct? You don't have any formal like tribal partnerships?
No, that's correct. We don't have any formal tribal partnerships, but we would love to work with Indian country and indigenous peoples. We would love that. And that's why we're here at the conference, to learn more. And we can fit into anyone's mission and vision as long as we know what the need is. We can work together with the team, and is an exciting thing that we can offer. And we'd love to have conversations and learn more about how we can help.
No, I just appreciate what you're doing. For those who are just joining us, I'm talking with Dr. Connie Tucker. She's the Chief Development Officer at Ascend Healthcare. She also, if you have a copy of her card, is listed as an Ambassador of Joy. Now, maybe before we give out the contact information, maybe after, we got to hear a little bit more about that. But give us the best way to contact you, or is it better to go through Ascend Healthcare in general?
Yeah, no, I think the best way to get a hold of us, you can look for us on our website, ascendtelehealth.com is our current website. Also, please feel free to reach out to me. My personal email at the company is ctucker@ascendtelehealth.com are the best ways to get a hold of me and learn more.
Let me make sure I've got this straight. So I'm talking with Dr. Connie Tucker, Connie, C-O-N-N-I-E. Not that there's too many ways that I've seen Connie spelled, but so your first initial C, last name Tucker, T-U-C-K-E-R, at ascendtelehealth.com. Have I got it?
True.
And if I say, hey, Dr. Tucker, amazing, love to reach out to her directly, but I'm a little intimidated. I don't know that I want to speak with a physician right off. Let me just check out the website. They could simply go to ascendtelehealth.com. Would that work?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got that down. Now, we all want to hear about this Ambassador of Joy bit. I've noticed you're a very positive person, but I did not know that that was your title as well. So explain that for us.
Yes, I laughingly say this is my self-proclaimed title,
okay,
is the Ambassador of Joy. I really believe what you put out there is what you get back. And so I am a very positive person. I love to laugh. I love to instill humor into things. And when people meet me or as I'm part of the project, that's something that they notice. And it's a wonderful thing at my age and at this stage in my career that they actually put it on my business card, which I thought was a beautiful testament that they appreciate me for my authentic self. And something that I love to bring to the world is just joy and warmth and compassion, and loving all people is very important to me. And so that's really encompasses my self-proclaimed title of Ambassador of Joy.
Very good. I love it. So folks who are wanting to expand their options as far as delivering mental health services, Ascend Healthcare should be on their list.
Absolutely.
But let's speak to another group too. And I didn't talk about this off air, so you might say, hey, this is not where we want to go. But I just know, as a primary care provider still active in a rural setting, that mental health services are difficult to come by in many places. Do you have a need for other providers? If someone's tuning in and they're saying, I'd love to be with a telehealth team, do you feel like there are opportunities there with you guys?
Absolutely. On our website, there is job opportunity careers page. You know, please take a look. We're always actively looking for people who see the mission and vision as we do. Recruiting is always happening. And so the talent acquisition team would love that. And if you are interested, please look at the website. There's ways to get a hold of the talent team and see the job board. We would love that.
Okay. So as long as I remember, ascendtelehealth.com, I can find out about job opportunities. I can find out about how to connect with you or other members of the team, can see who to talk with if I want to expand telehealth services wherever I'm at throughout the country. Is that the geographic limit for you right now?
That is true. All of that is true. We are available to help anywhere in the United States.
Okay. So that means Alaska, Hawaii, as well as the lower 48.
True.
Okay. Dr. Tucker, it's been a pleasure to visit with you. Any final words of encouragement for those who've tuned in today?
Thank you for all the hard work you're doing. It takes all of us to heal your community, and we value and appreciate you every day for doing that.
Thanks so much. Dr. Connie Tucker, continued success here at the National Tribal Health Conference.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time and involving me today. I appreciate that.
We've got to step away just briefly. We'll be back with more, one final segment in today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Stay tuned.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose, and my guest for the final segment is Dr. Joni Bakavoy. Joni, it's really great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Joni, you are not a stranger to regular listeners of the show. Not only have you been my guest in the past, but we have a new partnership. You've actually taken on the role of the associate producer of the radio program. So we really appreciate that.
That's right. I'm excited to do that. Learn more.
And we're glad we're here in this first venue. My wife, Dr. Sonia DeRose, and you, Dr. Joni Bakavoy, and myself, we're here representing the show at the National Tribal Health Conference. You've been here from the very beginning, from the pre-conference session that took place yesterday. Here we're in the first formal day of the conference. Tell us some of your impressions so far about the really exciting venue that we're in.
Oh, this has been fantastic. It's such a neat opportunity because we get to touch shoulders, rub shoulders, so to speak, with people at all levels in healthcare and wellness and for their community, for the tribal health community. So we have had the connection with some government folks, as well as folks who are National Indian Health Board leaders. A.C. Locklear spoke this morning. Fantastic. And just a whole group of people that are all focused on improving the health and wellness of their community.
Now, I know you, Joni, have deep roots, of course, in Indian country. Tell us a little bit about your background for those who don't know you.
So my doctorate's in public health, and that is really my focus right now, is doing things that are keeping people out of the hospital and keeping them well. But I actually have a background in healthcare. And so 25 years plus in healthcare as a nurse, and then also in corporate leadership, focusing on healthcare improvement and research, things that can help improve the quality of lives of people in the healthcare system. Now I'm all focused outside the healthcare system to keep people out of the hospital and keep them well.
In addition to your responsibilities with American Indian and Alaska Native Living Radio, you carry a big weight as far as the print version of the American Indian and Alaska Native Living family of resources. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that's a wonderful opportunity. And actually, Caroline Fisher is our editor, and Bob Burnett is someone who kind of oversees everything. He's our executive over everything publisher. And the whole focus of that magazine is really to share what's good in Indian country so that we can share it across the nation so that everyone has the opportunity to see different ways to improve their health and well-being. And the other thing is that specific publication, we use the acronym CREATION, and we take each of the words in CREATION and we choose a very simple topic, simple and focused topic area that is important to health. And so this issue that we're currently working on is C, it's choice, which is really important for the health.
Now, one of the things I noticed just since we've been circulating some together, attending some of the sessions together here, as well as some things independently, I know you've been talking with folks about writing for the periodical, for the magazine, as well as lining people up for radio interviews that we're doing here. And it seemed that you got pretty excited yesterday at a session that was put on by the American Cancer Society. We're hoping to have some of those folks behind the mic before we finish, if not in the future. But what was so exciting to you about that event?
Well, what was so exciting is they were really using kind of the topic of the theme of the conference is culture as medicine and community as healing. And so what they did is they made this documentary on how the American Cancer Society is working with different groups, organizations to really focus on using culture and community to drive how they care for patients.
So not only do they have these sessions,
right.
We actually saw a film that the American Cancer Society has produced along with a number of Native partners, but there's also an exhibit area.
Right.
I know, Dr. Bacavoy, you've had a special interest in chronic disease prevention.
Correct.
You've worked with diabetes programming. Tell us a little bit about that window as you interface with people throughout Indian country here at the National Tribal Health Conference.
Well, it's interesting. So last night, they actually had the poster session in the exhibit area. And it was so interesting because the majority of the posters were focused on diabetes. Diabetes, heart disease, obesity. But the primary focus was diabetes, and it was really interesting all the different things that are being done. So looking at food supply, different ways of cooking, engaging Native chefs to be involved, and also just the way that they're getting people more active, and then how you reward good behaviors. So it was very interesting.
Now, from my vantage point, it seems like diabetes is one of those areas where it's an area of success in Indian country. I mean, I hear so many positive things, so many hopeful things about diabetes. Am I just listening to the wrong people? Am I listening selectively? Or do you get this sense of enthusiasm, encouragement that progress is being made in Indian country when it comes to diabetes?
Oh, absolutely there's progress. Absolutely there's progress. What I don't hear is about reversing diabetes. We don't hear that comment. And I know from the medical community, they don't ever want to say you no longer have diabetes, even though your hemoglobin A1C, which is a marker to determine how you're managing your blood sugars.
Yeah, it depends what guidelines. Yeah. I mean, 6.5 sometimes is what they'll use for the diabetes diagnosis. But you're right. I mean, when do you say someone is just being controlled,
right,
as far as they're managed,
right,
their diabetes? Or can we ever say it's been reversed? Yeah, I mean, I love the question that you're asking.
So that I don't hear that focus as much as I hear it's well managed. Mm-hmm. And my dream, my vision for Indian country related to diabetes, since I have relatives and even a risk in my own family, is that I would love to see it so that people who have diabetes no longer have diabetes. And of course, then we prevent future diabetes as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I know you, Joni, have been one of the kind of community organizers, one of the advocates for the Diabetes Undone program. We have featured that on the show before, but tell us a little bit about that and why you've gotten excited about that particular program.
So it's really interesting. It's actually an 8-week program, but we can condense it to 6 weeks because sometimes it's hard to just keep meeting and meeting and meeting. Mm-hmm. But the focus of it is taking action. Mm-hmm. And so they are sessions that people can do virtually or in a group. And it's specifically to teach very simple principles, including something like, if you walk 15 minutes after every meal, that will help keep your glucose from spiking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the very simple things. And they'll talk about rest. They'll talk about different types of foods to focus on. So we have our green light foods, our yellow light foods, and our red light foods. And the green light are the ones you want to eat the most of. And that's veggies and your legumes and things like that, things that are whole plant-based foods.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow light are things that just be cautioned. They're not totally bad, but they're things you just don't want to eat a lot of. Try to stay away from processed foods. So that's most of that is actually in the red light.
Mm-hmm.
But even healthy fats, you still want less of that. So that's more in the yellow light.
So healthy fats. So some people have gotten the message that fat was bad. What are, quote, healthy fats?
So healthy fats are things that you get from whole plant-based. Mm. And so like avocados, that's a very healthy fat. And then there are some oils. Now, all oils are processed, but as long as it's from a whole plant-based food, then it's considered better for you.
So we're talking like an olive oil as opposed to lard or something?
So the oils that you want to look at are like olive oil, avocado oil. Those are probably the better oils of all the oils. You got to be really careful of the ones that are the vegetable oils, which is interesting because you think vegetables, you know, should be fine. They thought it was fine initially, but now that they've done research, they actually found that eating vegetable oils makes you at higher risk for heart disease.
So basically, the emphasis is on these whole plant foods.
Right.
And you're seeing that as you're here at the National Tribal Health Conference.
Right.
As you're going through the poster sessions, people are running community gardens.
Right.
They're getting back to indigenous foods. You see a lot talking about the three sisters and returning to the corn, beans, and squash.
Yep, you see a lot of that. And what's really cool is they get a lot of their native chefs involved. Because even like with the program that we do with Diabetes Undone, you can do all the book learning or you can sit in classes. But until you start taking action, like you trying some of the menus, actually sharing menus and sharing things that you've made with other people, that's when you start seeing a difference.
Joni, our time is rapidly slipping away. I appreciate your enthusiasm here for what's happening in Phoenix at the National Tribal Health Conference. So appreciate you taking on some new responsibilities with American Indian and Alaska Native Living Radio. But as we wind up, if someone says, hey, I listen to the radio regularly, but I really want to access this magazine.
Uh-huh.
Is it still available in print or is it just electronic at this point?
Right now it's just electronic. We do have some old print copies, just some funding issues, but we do have electronic and you're always welcome to print it off. And so that is online. It's at our website, aian.org, and you can access our magazine online.
So let's give that website out one more time, would you please?
Sure. It's AI. So it's American Indian Alaska Native Living. So it's AIANL.org. And that's all of our resources. So your radio program and then also the magazine.
Very good. Dr. Bakavoy, thank you so much for pulling away from the busy activities here at the National Tribal Health Conference.
Thank you, Dr. DeRose. Appreciate being on.
And for all of you who've tuned into today's episode, hopefully you've gained some powerful insights, things that can help you, things that are happening in Indian country, things that can benefit you and your tribe. As always, I'm Dr. David DeRose wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.